Ballinger, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 9, 1905. Dear Brother Ballinger, I have just read your letter. I shall be able to answer only a few questions today, but will write fully when I have more time. I think you will have to secure a bookkeeper. Too many burdens are being placed on you. I cannot but be pleased with the improvements made in the bathrooms. But are not the permanent bathrooms to be put up outside the main building, as was talked of when we were together at San Diego? That which you have done to clear away the rubbish from the east porch is a good step taken in the work of reform. In your last letter, you spoke of the land. I think that it should be secured. I fear that if we delay, the price will be raised. I think we shall need the houses on the land and the barn also, but we dare not involve ourselves. In a former letter, you said, I think, that the property with the packing house was for sale for $3,500. The matter must be carefully considered, and if it is thought best, the property must be secured. I was more than pleased with what you said regarding the spiritual work that you have been able to do in the institution. In my judgment, this is the most important phase of our sanitarium work. It is the work that the Lord has shown me should be done. May God help you, is the prayer that we offer at the family altar. I am sure that such cases as that of the young man you mentioned may, by the blessing of God, be helped. The Lord will help us in His own way if we come to Him in faith, nothing doubting. I regret that the business matters of the institution keep you so fully employed that you cannot give the time you desire to the evangelistic part of the work. May the Lord give His grace and His healing power to the lady you speak of, the postmistress of Coronado. We have a very powerful medical missionary who understands the intricacies of every case. He can heal the afflicted ones, both soul and body. Last night I was in the night season talking to a company such as you bring to my mind in speaking of your seasons of family worship. I was repeating the promise given in the 7th chapter of Matthew. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verses 7, 8. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Verses 9 to 12. Christ came to teach us not only what we ought to know and believe, but also what we ought to do in our relations with God and with our fellow men. The golden rule of equity demands that we do unto others as we would they should do unto us. We are to keep their eternal interests in view, saying to ourselves, they are the purchase of the Savior's blood, bought with a price. In all our dealing with our fellow men, whether they be believers or unbelievers, we are to treat them as Christ would treat them were He in our place. If it is for our present and eternal good to obey the law of God, it will be for their present and eternal good also to do this. Our highest aim is to be to them medical missionary workers after Christ's order. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. verses 13-14. All who enter through the pearly gates into the city of God must have set forth Christ in all their dealings. It is this that constitutes them the messengers of Christ, his witnesses. They are to bear a plain, decided testimony against all evil practices, pointing them to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He gives to all who receive him power to become the sons of God. Regeneration is the only path by which we can reach the holy city. It is narrow, and the gate by which we enter is straight. But along it we are to lead men and women and children, teaching them that in order to be saved, they must have a new heart and a new spirit. The old hereditary traits of character are to be overcome. The natural desires of the soul must be changed. All deception, all falsifying, all evil speaking must be put away. The new life which makes men and women Christ-like is to be lived. We are, as it were, to swim against the current of evil. The way to heaven is narrow, hedged in by the divine law of Jehovah. Those who follow this way must constantly deny self. They must obey the teachings of Christ. "The words that I speak unto you," he said to his apostles, "they are spirit, and they are life." John 6, verse 63. Temptation will sometimes be strong. Let us not trust in man, but in Jesus Christ, who died that he might win us to righteousness. When he commands, "Do not stand and consult your own convenience. Enter in at the straight gate." Matthew 7, verse 13. Life and death, good and evil, are set before every soul. Now comes a warning. Beware of false prophets, those who pretend to be Christians, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Why? Because the root, the heart, is purified and cleansed. Neither can a corrupt tree, be it ever so productive, bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Verses 15-20. I am as gratified as you are to hear of so many patients attending your meetings. I was glad to read what you wrote about the senator from Minnesota. My brother, win souls to Christ. This is the science of salvation. I think with you that there ought to be a change in the presidency of the Southern California Conference. I fear that Brother Santee is not the best qualified to fill the place. But Brother Burden will have to remain where he is at present. It is not best to unsettle the minds of those who are filling important positions. Let every step taken first be carefully considered. In regard to the school work, I have been instructed that the plan of charging students nothing for tuition, depending on the second tithe to support the school, will always leave a school in a condition of financial embarrassment. When I first heard of this movement, I thought I would let it be worked out. But I tell you now that the light given me is that other plans will have to be made than the plan of supporting schools from the second tithe. Students should be charged a reasonable price for their tuition. There will be an abundance of places to use the second tithe in doing earnest missionary work in new places. In your letter, you speak of having an addition of guests in the sanitarium. You may need to put up tents. The barn will have to be converted into a house consult over this matter. The barn should not stand there as a barn, for it is too near the building. I can but thank God that you are getting along so well. Be of good courage in the Lord. Let us increase in faith and in love for God. The Lord Jesus will be with every one who will walk with him. We hope and pray that souls will be converted at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium, and that the power of the Holy Spirit shall be seen among your company of workers. I am sending your letter to W.C. White with a copy of my answer.